The show's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're your connection to local music and more on the program today. Some performers who are going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana this week and next. George Faber is an Urbana native living now in Minneapolis, and he is going to be performing twice at the Iron Post, first with Keith Harden and friends on Keith's Keithmas program. That's on the 23rd at 8:30 in the evening. And then on his own George Faber and Friends program. That's at the Iron Post on Christmas night at 8 o'clock. He'll be on with us first part of the show, and then Matt and Tom Torino are at the Iron Post on the 27th. They're performing live in our studio in the second half of today's program. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a movement called The Old Lovers from L'Heure de Berger, The Shepherd's Hour by Jean Francais, the Gaudier Ensemble here on Live and Local. Musician George Faber tells a story on his website that goes like this. He says, an early singing and harmonica lesson came as a teenager in Champaign, Illinois, when McKinley Morganfield, a.k.a. Muddy Waters, was rumored to be recuperating in the hospital there. George used it as a stroke of luck chance to get a few pointers from his musical hero. His next encounter with the blues legend came years later on stage at Kingston Mines in Chicago. Son, you've improved, he noted, and George Faber claims inspiration from not only Muddy Waters, but Lowell George, Ronnie Wood, Rod Stewart, Junior Wells, and many others. And he is going to be in Urbana twice this week, performing twice on Wednesday evening with Keith Harden and friends at the Iron Post in Urbana, and then again at the Iron Post on Christmas night, his program, then called George Faber and Friends. And I talked with George for quite a while last week, and here is the first part of that conversation. Talk to me a little bit about how you got your start musically speaking.
Well, I went to Urbana High School, and there was a band that got together, basically a bunch of us that were more into music than being than actually knowing how to play. The first band I was ever in was called the Bohemians.
That still goes on.
And it was like, hey, we want to be in a band. What should I do? Well, I would like to try to be the singer. And everybody said they wanted to try to be the singer. So we had a tape recorder, a reel-to-reel, and we put on records and sang along with it, and I won the contest. So I became the singer. I'd actually already been playing the harmonica because I was a Bob Dylan fan. And shortly after discovering that people like the Rolling Stones and stuff kept talking about Chicago blues musicians, and I'm going, wow, I live kind of close to Chicago, you know. So I started trying to make little pilgrimages up there and hearing blues musicians whenever I could. By the time I was still in high school, and you could walk around Maxwell Street and stand outside the bars and hear music and stuff, and got very serious about playing blues harmonica, and I've been doing that my whole life. And
did you just teach yourself the harmonica?
Yeah, basically.
Because there's not that many. You can't go to the Yellow Pages and find a harmonica teacher.
Not too easily.
And pretty much just from listening to records that you liked.
Listening to records, reading out. You know, other harmonica players might have a little blurb in a magazine about how it works and that kind of thing. It's a slow process when you're a kid, you know. But you know, just buying little Walter records and Sonny Terry records and Sonny Boy Williamson records and doing your best to copy the licks, and pretty soon it comes to you, you know.
So then how did you move from listener and dabbler to something more than that?
Well, like I say, that was, so we got into a situation where we wanted to be in the band, and I won the singing contest because everybody wanted to be the singer because none of us knew how to play any instruments. And so one guy goes, I'll play the bass because I heard that's easy. And another guy goes, well, I was at military school, so I'll play the drums because we had to play the marching band, you know. And And then we actually had a guitar player that was a seasoned musician, and we'd ask him, "Can we do this song?" He'll, "No, that's too hard. Can we do this one?" "Yeah, that's a straight blues. We can do that." You know. So that evolved like that. And
although good musicians know that the blues ain't easy, isn't
no,
it?
But,
isn't that supposed
know,
to be still
but
the great?
The progression was, and so for
yeah.
kids, it was something we could do if it went ba da da da.
You can do that. Yeah.
We could do that, yeah.
And so, how did that band do?
You know, we played a few gigs, and then there was another band that was a little more popular that was starting up, and it was called the Finchley Boys. And they already had a singer, one of my best friends, a guy named Jim Cole, who's going to be joining me at the Iron Post on Christmas night as a guest artist to sing and play on a couple tunes. I'm also going to be there with Keith Harden, who's a well-known guy around town, and David Easley, who's from Champaign-Urbana but has lived in New Orleans for probably the last 15 years, and he's an incredible pedal steel player. And so, and then Bruiser, his real name is Bruce Rumney, he'll be playing percussion with us too. But anyway, Jimmy Cole was the lead singer, and I'd sit in and play harmonica, and pretty soon then Jim decided he wanted to strike out on his own, so I became the lead singer of the Finchley Boys, and that evolved out of high school into a completely different band. That was there was a band in town called Somebody Groovy that were really great at doing harmony stuff and birds, like the Birds and Beatles stuff and things like that. And then we were a little bit more psychedelic and a little bit more like the Kinks, Rolling Stones, Yardbirds type of stuff. And when we kind of fused together, we just started doing all original material. And that band featured Garrett Oesteich on guitar, Mike Powers on drums, Larry Tabling on bass, and myself. And that band was the Finchley Boys that, for some reason or other, became a cult hit. And to this day, if you Google that, just Google the Finchley Boys, there's tons and tons of stuff, people wanting to buy a Finchley Boys record, the Everlasting Tribute album, and just got a offer for a record deal in Greece.
You just did recently?
Yeah, just recently. It just continues on, this Finchley Boy craze. I don't know exactly why, but I think we kind of captured a certain era of naivete and psychedelia, and people just kind of still have a nostalgia for it.
Is it still an entity or a recurring entity?
No, not really, but, you know, there are still some unopened copies of the Finchley Boys record, and now they're going to reissue that with some tracks that weren't on the record, some just different outtakes and things like that, and kind of a story and things like that of this record label out of Greece. And then there's another record label here in the U.S. that wants to do the same thing. So the Finchley Boys doesn't seem to ever die, you know, just stay in there.
So when you get a place, you know, when you get a request like that, hey, can you come and play? And what did you say, it was Greece?
Yeah, well,
what do you tell them?
Yeah, well, you know, to actually play in Greece, then that would, we'd have to sort of figure out how to do those songs that we did back when we were 20 years old.
But you still know all those guys.
Yeah, we're still all in touch with each other. Michael Powers still lives in Champaign. He's a featured solo act at the Farmer's Market all the time. He's a guy that plays a kind of a one-man band thing.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, with the
Long hair
beard
and the big beard.
Gray beard, and that's
no
Michael.
Kidding.
He was the drummer.
Yeah, here, her,
and
he'll
Garrett Oesteich
summer.
Actually runs a audio installation company. They do surround sound and widescreen TV installation and that sort of thing there in Champaign too. And so he was the guitar player, and Garrett was actually the leader of the Finchley Boys, and I was the lead singer, and we played a lot. And then after the Finchley Boys broke up, I had my own band called George Faber. It was actually just called George for a while, and then we had George Faber and Stronghold. And Keith Harden was in George Faber and Stronghold, who, like I said, is going to be with me on Christmas night at the Iron Post. And so George Faber and Stronghold played for a while, and I actually got a video on MTV that was kind of in regular rotation for a while.
Hmm.
We had an album out, vinyl.
So what kind of stuff would you say you'd, what
that
would
was
you call
sort of
that?
Rhythm and blues, rock and roll. little bit kind of like maybe like Huey Lewis before Huey Lewis. We're real influenced by people like Wilson Pickett and James Brown and that kind of thing, yet we had a little bit of rock influence and stuff too.
So can you claim to have influenced Huey Lewis then?
Well, I don't know. I think we both were influenced by the same people is what it was. And he's a harmonica player too, you know. So when you've kind of just grew up with rock and roll and R&B, it kind of comes out like that, you know. I think our stuff was, you know, if you listen to it side by side, it probably wouldn't have anything in common except that it both had roots in R&B.
So then from there, Stronghold.
When the band finally realized that we had a record deal and a video on MTV, and it didn't change our lifestyle, as all good bands tend to do, it broke up. Yeah. I got offered to sing in a place called Rupert's Nightclub in Chicago, which is kind of a concept that really worked well in the 90s. It was a 16-piece band with guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, saxophone, trumpet, and trombone, and six lead singers. And each singer specialized, and I specialized in kind of the Ray Charles all the way up to some Huey Lewis and David Bowie if they needed it, or Rolling Stones, and a couple original tunes. And then it was a house band at a place called Rupert's Nightclub, and it was one of those see and be seen type of places, you know, where they had a dress code. Everybody liked to dress up real nice, which is another 90s thing that worked really well then. And there'd be a line out into the street of people wanting to get in and people getting turned away at the end of the night. And it just worked really well for about 6 years. And then after that, the first Rupert's was in Chicago. And after I was there for 3 months, some entrepreneurs wanted to have the same concept in Minneapolis. And so they asked me if I'd come there, and the original plan was 3 months in Minneapolis, 3 months in Chicago, 3 months in Minneapolis, back and forth. Well, after 2 months into it, I'd met my wife, by the way, and I was trying to figure out a way to stay here. And they got in a fight with the original owner of the Chicago Rupert's. They were going to be partners, and this guy was a guy that owned Let Us Entertain You, Rich Melman, very successful restaurateur.
Oh, some wonderful restaurants up there.
Yeah, and the Webb brothers up here in Minneapolis, somehow they had a falling out, and they said, we're not going to have a symbiotic relationship with Let Us Entertain You anymore. If we paid you a little more, would you stay here? And I go, oh, let me think about it. Yes, I'll do it. So, I've been here ever since. It's been about 22 years now. And I've got my... So that lasted about 6 years. For certain reasons, that club finally went under. And since then, I've had my own band doing a lot of special events and private parties and that kind of thing. And it's called George Faber and the Icons.
And that's musician George Faber, who's going to be in Urbana at the Iron Post performing on Christmas night at 8 o'clock. George Faber and Friends, the name of the program. He's also going to be playing with Keith Harden and Friends on Keith's Keithmas program on Wednesday night at 8:30, also at the Iron Post. Here's George Faber from his most recent CD. It's called Wounded Sky, and the song is called Man in Jail. George Faber's tune, Man in Jail. George Faber on lead vocal, harmonica, and acoustic guitar. And Tim Snow, electric guitars, ukulele, bass, piano, and backup vocals as well. Phil Bass is the drummer. And George Faber going to be at the Iron Post a couple times this week in downtown Urbana. And I spoke with him on the phone from Minneapolis last week. And coming up, part two of our conversation. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And then later on in the show, performing live in our studio, Matt and Tom Torino. Here's part two of my conversation with George Faber.
My most current record is one called Wounded Sky, which I recorded and released just about a year ago.
Yeah, tell me about what all that covers. I've heard some samples.
Yeah, it's all original material. All the stuff, you know, I don't make any attempts to try to be commercial anymore. I just write and record it, whatever I come up with. Usually acoustic based, because I play acoustic guitar, and you know, when you're sitting on your couch and writing a song, and once you've sort of got the whole, every one of the songs stands up on its own with just acoustic guitar and vocal, and then I embellish it from there, and I've done one record where I just concentrated on doing just blues, called Faber Blues, and that was a project where I just got the best players I could and put them in the recording studio, and no rehearsals, no overdubs. We just played, and I'd bring a song in and say, okay, here's how we're going to do this tune, and we did it. And that was with the help of Jeff Poor, who owns Glenn Poor's Audio Video.
Yeah.
Jeff kind of came up with the concept, why don't you do a blues record and do it live, and we could, you know, really market to the audiophile world, because he's connected in that world.
Yeah, balanced audio technology.
Yep. I've had a lot of success in the audiophile world with my first CD. Bose Speaker Company had decided that one of my songs really sonically stood out, and they gave me a licensing deal for that song, and you can hear that if you buy a brand new Alfa Romeo. It's on the compilation CD. And they also used it for the iPod docking station. And
so you've gotten around.
Yeah, you know, you do whatever angle you can these days to get out there and be heard.
So when you sit down to write a song, does something pop into your head that is in one style and you go with that, or do you say, I'm going to sit down and write a blues? Or
yeah, no, more like the first, you know, just start, you know, like plucking around and humming, and all of a sudden, oh, I got this. I know where this is going. And there's a song on Wounded Sky, as a matter of fact, that it's called I'd Go Blind, and it's about... when I say a song is about something, it's never literally about it, but it was kind of inspired by this was my home, but I can't go back. It's that whole concept that you can never return home. But it's kind of, there was a situation where around this time of year, for about 4 years, friends of mine from Champaign had committed suicide, and I just like, man, what is this about? You know, and I guess it just kind of stuck with me, and I put that song together, and it's one of those songs that emotionally, you know, every time I hear it now, I can conjure up my feelings about that.
So literally friends, plural?
Yeah, unfortunately. It seemed like every year for 4 years.
No
it
kidding.
It was just like, no, not another guy.
Does that make that a difficult song to sing?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Something you almost want to hand off to somebody else to sing.
Yeah, I know. It's like
they won't have the attachment.
And a couple of the guys were musicians that I worked with in the past too, and it's just a strange thing.
I'm always amazed by musicians such as yourself, who not only can, you know, feel comfortable in so many different styles, and meld those styles, but who also can just sit down with any number of different musicians, as you said, the one recording and maybe others where you just got some guys together, didn't rehearse, you just played. That whole thing just astounds me as a classically trained musician who can only read what's on the page. It sounds like that's something you just did from the very beginning. You didn't even have...
Absolutely. When I first realized I could do that, I was in Champaign. The Finchley Boys had broken up, and I hadn't yet formed another band. And somebody had a connection to get a gig at Chunut Air Force Base to play the Officers Club, which is a strip club. They had strippers, but in between the strippers, they wanted music, and actually behind the strippers, they wanted music. So I just called up a bunch of friends and said, hey, I got this gig for 2 weeks straight, and we can go out to the Chinook Air Force Base and play. And they said, well, what are we going to play? And I said, I don't know, but let's go and do it, you know. And just right off the bat, you realize, everybody here know Money, you know? Money, which one's that? I said, the best things in life are free. Bah, 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 you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money, you know, and just, yeah, I know that one. Okay, follow him then, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody know, you really got me? Yeah, uh-huh, you know. Everybody know, you know, so it'd just be like, okay, that's our first set. Then we'll talk it over on the second set, what we're going to do next, you know. It's funny to this day, that's been such a valuable thing. I do, once you realize that you can do that, and you also realize, you know, for a lot of these gigs that I'm talking about, the private stuff, you go, it's the same songs that seem to work are the ones that all of us know. You know, Shout and Old Time Rock and Roll and Brown Eyed Girl and all those, you know. So I actually subcontract when I'm already booked. I have another band I call Rocket, and I put it together, basically called up the best musicians I could and just said, here's the songs that work. That, you know, if you know them, great. If you don't, sort of do your homework. And now that band works pretty regularly too, and I'm basically act as their agent and musical director.
And you play in that one sometimes or not?
Nope, that band is specifically when I'm not available because I'm already working.
You have a nice on your website, George Faber, well, theiconslive.com, but you can find it on georgefaber.com, I think. That's how I got to it. You have this wonderful list of clips that shows, I guess, kind of the gamut of what you do. Take the A-Train, Fly Me to the Moon, Jump, Jive, and Wail. What's another one that's not like that at all? Mustang Sally, Honky Tonk Woman, that just covers an incredible variety. And do you do the harmonica on all those, or you go back and forth?
I'll do the harmonica when it's appropriate, you know, and otherwise, you know, just sing.
And in Urbana at the Iron Post, since you're getting together with some old friends, I'm guessing that it's going to be kind of like we've just been talking about. You get together, say, let's do this tune, and what happens, happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Cause you're not
funny
gonna...
because one of the musicians said, so who's on bass? And I said, one thing I've learned about doing this kind of thing is the bass player absolutely has to know the song. So in this case, no bass player.
You didn't want to risk it, huh?
No, because I wanted to do some originals, and my originals aren't necessarily predictable. But all these musicians I've called are got really good ears and can hear where it's going. And there's an old saying in this kind of music is, when in doubt, lay out. And, you know, if somebody knows it, let them carry it at that point in time and then come back in when you know it. And the only person I've ever, you know, I mean, the only instrument that really can't do that is the bass.
Why is it?
Well, because it's the foundation of the bottom of the thing. So if there's, it has to have the chord changes. So say, for instance, you've got a chord progression that's going along and it's pretty predictable, but then all of a sudden there's a bridge that's not predictable in the song. So you got your verse and your chorus, and you're kind of, I hear where that's going. I hear where this is going. And then the bridge pops up, and you go, I have no idea where this is going, and you're the bass player, you're screwed. If you're the, you know, second guitar player or the lead guitar player and the other guy's playing the chords, you just lay out, wait till he hits the bridge, and then you can come back in. There's a little delay that happens where you can just wait and hear it.
Well, why wouldn't that be similarly true? If you don't have a bass player, you kind of have somebody's kind of got to carry the chord structure and the bass line.
Yeah, they're my originals, and I'm playing acoustic guitar.
Oh, you got it covered then.
Yeah. And if I blow it, nobody knows because they're my tunes.
That's right, and they're original. They haven't heard them before.
Yeah,
probably.
And then I will call songs, you know, like some of the ones we've been talking about that everybody knows, and we could have a bass player on those, but we don't.
And then you're going to, so Keith Harden is among the ones who's going to join you on your gig on Christmas night, but then I understand you are probably going to join Keith on his Keithmas program on the
23rd? Absolutely, yeah.
And a little bit of that in reverse.
Uh-huh, and we've done that kind of thing, you know, like many times throughout the years, because we're both, he's coming back from Nashville, I'm coming back from Minneapolis. David Easley, who's going to be joining me Christmas night, is coming back from New Orleans. Jim Cole is going to be coming back from Chicago. It's kind of like a great way to have a reunion with a bunch of friends and play music together. And then a lot of people are coming back to visit, and a lot of people who have remained in Champaign turn up, and it's just a really good, warm feeling.
George Faber, who was in conversation with me a week ago, and going to be at the Iron Post a couple times this week. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And from George Faber's new CD called Wounded Sky, this tune is called Dark Clouds.
Dark clouds are rolling in. Dark clouds keep rolling in.
We had George Faber in his tune called Dark Clouds. George Faber on lead vocal, harmonica, and acoustic guitar. Tim Snow, piano and electric guitars. Gordy Johnson was the bass player, and Phil Bass, the drummer. And once again, George Faber and friends performing at the Iron Post downtown Urbana Friday night. That's Christmas night at 8 o'clock. He'll also be joining Keith Harden and friends on Wednesday night at 8:30 at the Iron Post. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And at the Iron Post on Sunday, and I'm actually not looking at the time, 8 o'clock also on Sunday night, are going to be Matt and Tom Torino, father and son duo, in reverse order, son and father duo. It always rings better, Matt and Tom, than Tom and Matt. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just because he's more important.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, depends whether you consider a fiddle or a guitar more important, but I guess anybody can argue one way or the other. And we might sort of talk about the hierarchy of these things, but why don't you just launch us into some music?
All righty. We're going to start off with a fairly new a tune. It's not in the old-time vein. It's more in the singer-songwriter vein, which I dabble in every once in a while with trepidation.
Does that mean you'll be singing?
Or? I'm afraid I will.
Okay, well then, I've got the headphones on.
You can
I can
take
always
them
take them off
That's
and
right.
leave the room if I
That's
want.
Right.
But I suspect it'll be fine.
Doctor can tell. I like to hear the sound of one hand clapping, avoid the finger pointing at the moon. I like to hear the old fellow laughing. It'll come around, it'll come around, it'll come around too soon. ¶¶ many places. All that matters is what's on the marquee. Selling scandal, selling rumor. Sell your photograph and set yourself free. Sound of one hand clapping, avoid the finger pointing at the moon. I like to hear the old fellow laughing, it'll come around.
Tom Torino, right here in our studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was Tom's tune called again.
Well, it's a terrible title. It's called Beef Eaters.
Are you going to work on that or are you going to stick with it?
Well, that's the opening word of the song. Sometimes I run to Beef Eaters at 3 in the morning.
And what did you have a particular inspiration for that song?
Well, yeah, I mean, the verses are about people and challenges that they have. And the chorus it uses Zen koans. I don't know. Hear the sound of one hand clapping. Ignore the finger pointing at the moon. And the old fellow laughing. So it's kind of a Buddhist hymn.
And are you a Buddhist?
I'm interested in Buddhism. Always have been.
Well, you're interested in an enormous number of cultural things, which I guess goes with the territory of being involved in ethnomusicology. But then again, ethnomusicology goes with the territory of being interested in a lot of things. And I assume it's the latter that came first.
Well, Buddhism, now I just, you know, when I was really young, I looked into a lot of different religious, I read the Bible and I read different, in different religions. And Buddhism, the Theravada Buddhism struck me as very interesting. So I've always kind of been interested in it.
And a lot of reading of writers, or at least of sayings of various people, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. But the Theravada is the original sort of teaching of the Buddha, so reading kind of things that were written down supposedly that he had said and the Eightfold Path and all that stuff.
So virtually from the mouth of the Buddha, as opposed to the belly of the Buddha, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Matt and Tom Torino on Live and Local. They're going to be at the Iron Post downtown Urbana on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. There's it seems like, at least in Champaign-Urbana, if you want music during this Christmas week and into the New Year's, that's the place to be. I mean, there's something almost every night. I guess Thursday night's the exception.
I mean, that's usually the case to a certain extent. They're pretty steady and consistent on how much music they provide the community, I'd say.
Yeah, well, we had Paul Wirth on last week to talk about a lot of that stuff. I mean, there are certainly other bands in Champaign-Urbana, other venues that do have music.
Absolutely.
But it's different, you know, lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah.
But if it's sort of the non-rock genre.
Right.
Or country.
Or country, then that's the place. And, you know, I just want to put in a plug for this show as an advocate for performers. Throughout the community, meaning our listening community, and I realize that the show is often rather heavy on the performers from Champaign-Urbana, but that's mostly because that's what I happen to be physically closest to. And you know, we've got listeners in a 70 mile radius and beyond, well beyond. And if we're not representing your community, and you happen to know of performers that we should know about, and the rest of our listeners should know about, then write to me. And let me know, because I'd love to get in touch with them and let folks know about particular events and other groups. And the best way to do it is to send it to our calendar address. It's willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. I'll give you a couple of examples. Tonight at 7:30 in Charleston, are going to be the 16th Street Parlor Consort playing on recorders. Okay. That's at the Otterbein United Methodist Church in Charleston tonight at 7:30. And then tomorrow night at 6:30, and Decatur at the Decatur Public Library, a performance, holiday performance by the Young Park Singers, who I assume are related to the Decatur Park Singers. And that happens to be, those happen to be the only two, one other, Illinois Wesleyan Wind Ensemble performing on Tuesday at 3 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. So those are the only ones not in Champaign-Urbana that I have in my calendar. So if I'm missing something, please let me know.
Well, I would like to do another tune. This one, we'll do a medley of two tunes. The first one's just an old-time tune, which is called Needle Case. And the second one is one of Matt's tunes called Scavenger's Delight, in the old-time vein. And Scavenger's Delight is one of the songs on our relatively new CD, which makes a great Christmas present and is available at Exile on Main Street and
Cousins.
And Exile on Main Street and Priceless Books downtown Urbana has it for sale. So,
and you can get it online too, can't you?
You can, CD Baby.
CD Baby. And the name of the album once?
Here and Far Away.
Here and Far Away. It's at home. At home right now, which is actually good because I've been listening to it a lot.
Oh,
I rather enjoy it.
Thanks. Right. Want to give us four taters, Matt?
Or you can go ahead and do it.
Thank you.
know, I don't know if listeners can pick this up on the microphones or not. The in classical music, you're not supposed to tap your feet. You know, you're supposed to just watch the conductor or just listen. But in this kind of music, you're going to tap your feet. And in fact, if listeners don't tap their feet, you think that you must not be doing a good job.
That's right.
So I don't know if you can pick up the foot tapping through the microphones here, but if you can't, then by all means, in the listening audience, tap your feet. It actually adds a huge amount to the music. I mean, I'm just sitting here with the headphones off, and that's going on, you know, and I can't help doing the same thing, actually, with both feet. I think I was going.
In fact, on the CD, you can hear our feet tapping.
Can you? You know, I can't remember that.
Yeah. It's Mark Rubel probably tried to minimize it, but we were doing it.
Next time, have him put a microphone on your feet.
Well, Matt does this. He when we perform, he uses a board.
Oh, that's right. I've seen the soundboard.
Yep.
Soundbox.
Yep. And he's got a pickup on it so that it's actually a percussion instrument.
Actually, that's something. Mike Pritchard is our sound engineer for this show. Mm-hmm. And Mike, we got to talk about that next time these guys are in or somebody else. Foot tappers will have to amplify the foot tapper and see how it goes. Matt and Tom Torino here on Live and Local. It's always a treat to.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us back.
I think it's your second time on, and I'm sure it won't be the last. Better not be the last.
No, I hope not. Yeah.
Whether or not you have a gig going on or not. So, I had a question before you launch into something else. Actually, two questions. Right at the outset, Tom, you said to Matt something. This must be a lingo I don't know about. Something about you want to give us four taters? Is that what you said?
Oh, four potatoes, yeah.
Yeah, what's that?
Most of the stuff we do on banjo and fiddle is dance tunes. And so when you play square and contra dances, you go jung, chukka, jung, chukka, jung, chukka, jung.
It's essentially giving four beats so that the caller know and the dancers know when to begin. So it's just like four empty beats before this tune starts up.
And so the taters are just like a big zero beat or something like that.
I'm not sure where that reference started, but
do four taters on the fiddle, Matt.
Okay, it's just the. In that case, it would have been like a.
Oh, sure.
So yeah,
heard that plenty of times. Didn't know that was called. I have to remember that.
Yep.
So the other thing I wanted to know, Tom, when you go from guitar to banjo. What are the adjustments you have to make mentally and with your fingers, either right hand or left hand?
It's the right hand that's the main problem because it's a totally different technique. I think when I was on last, I talked a little bit about claw hammer, which is my right hand, the stroking hand, literally looks like a claw when I play and I stroke down.
The banjo, not the guitar.
When I'm playing the five-string banjo, right. Yeah. And so I'm striking down on the strings and my hand is in a stiff claw shape. And when I'm playing the guitar, a lot of times when we play guitar, we finger pick. I actually had a song I wanted to do today, against Matt's better judgment. But
does that mean you're now going to do it anyway?
Yes.
Since we're talking about this, I like to use vocal segues into good music like this. So anyway, so this one, and. The idea here was that it was a seasonal song and that people might be able to sing along. I mean, most of our songs people don't know and won't be able to sing along with them, but this one I think people will be able to sing along with. So. Thank you. Couldn't resist.
No, that's great. It took me a while to recognize that, and I heard a couple of familiar chords. I think I recognized that one, and then it was right before Matt came in on the fiddle that I finally picked it up. And then you wound around that, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm wrong. And then, yeah. Anyway, that was great. Silent Night, in case you haven't figured it out once the words gave it away. So now on that one, you were using a thumb pick.
Thumb and
your
finger
right hand.
Picks.
Oh, okay. You got three fingers.
So this three finger pick. So yeah, so that's another style. The first tune we played, I used a flat pick, and so it's all right hand stuff that's different. And
so the left hand is pretty much just different fingerings.
Yeah, just pretty much the same. A different. Well, yeah, and I brought two banjos. I don't know how we're doing on time, but because
I got about 5 minutes.
Banjo uses different tunings, and so rather than in a short space like this, try to go from one tuning to another, I just bring two banjos.
Sure, and they're both five strings?
They're both five string banjos.
Yeah. You said on the claw, on the five string, you specified you used this claw hammer style. Claw-hammer. If you used a four string, would you play differently?
Yeah, four string, they usually use a plectrum, they usually use a pick.
Okay.
And strum it or pick melody notes or what?
I've just never heard the word plectrum before.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope.
I can't help it. When I'm with Kevin, I have to.
Plectral instruments is plucked instruments.
Yeah, plucked.
Pretty much. I actually have. I couldn't come up with that on my own, but I sort of recognized the term once. I use the, I say pluck, you know, so. What do you mean when you're with
when
Kevin?
When I'm with you, I like to be, I don't know, somehow you bring out the musicologist in me. I don't know what it is. Have to stop it.
Well, no, that's fine. As long, I mean, if you get too musicological, then I'm going to ask you to explain it anyway, so. And Matt just took care of that for us. Okay, well, this is Live and Local, and as usual, the time has gone rapidly, and we have about 4 minutes left. Coming up at 1 o'clock, I'll give you a weather forecast, and at a minute past, we'll have news headlines, and then Julie Amacher has classical music for you at 6 minutes past the hour. On tomorrow's program, Julie Byler, who is director of the Chorale, who are giving their annual See You at the Virginia concert, the Virginia Theater downtown Champaign on New Year's Eve. She's going to be bringing on a couple of young singers who are with them on that program. Abby Burgett, forgetting her new last name, and Caitlin Dobbs. And then also on the show, Nicholas Temperley was on last week with Chet Alwis for the Baroque Artists concert. He's going to be bringing his Temperley Carolers.
Speaking of musicologists,
that's right. And they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, so we're going to end up with some Christmas carols on tomorrow's show.
That's great. Well, Kevin, thanks for having us. Remember, listening public, we're going to be at the Iron Post Sunday night, the Sunday right after Christmas.
I also want to give a plug. We're going to be playing at Contra Dance Weekend over at the Phillips Center on the 8th and the 9th of January, called the January Jam. And this next tune we're going to play is a dance tune. It's called the Logan County Blues. And if you're into hearing this kind of music, this is the setting for it. And so there'll be contra dancing and workshops all day Saturday, and three bands and three callers, two of which are coming from very far away. So it should be a pretty great event. So,
the 8th and 9th of January.
8th and 9th of January.
Phillips Center.
Which is in downtown Urbana, yeah.
As is the Iron Post.
That's right.
And people come from all over for this Jan Jam.
Oh, yeah.
So please come out for that if you get a chance. All right.
Logan County Blues.
I can hear four potatoes here. Thank you.
Tom Torino playing live in our studio as I speak here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us today. It's going to be mostly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 33. Cloudy tonight, chance of some light snow and flurries after midnight, the low 25. Tomorrow cloudy with some light snow showers and flurries in the morning and snow and rain showers in the afternoon, the high 36. And Wednesday's outlook, cloudy and windy with some sleet and freezing rain possible in the morning, then some rain in the afternoon, the high Wednesday 38. We're at 32 right now. News headlines are next from NPR. Julie Amacher has classical music at 101. This is WYNL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We are the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.